afraid. Hello.
Hey, guys.
Hello.
Hey.
What's going on over there? Fire?
Ron is dead.
How you doing, Stanky Leg?
High five from everyone.
Took it to the limit.
I have a horrible foot fetish.
Do you?
Let's go, Red Sox. Let's go, Red Sox.
Hear me like a bow, bow, bow.
Go, Red Sox.
Hear me like a bow, bow, bow.
Wall dick, well, yeah.
Now, that's why they call me country.
Hello. Welcome to the show.
Hello.
Secret session.
Good morning, everybody. Good morning. We're at the Toucher and Rich radio program, 617-779-0985. Marty is in for Rich.
Hi.
Is it cold enough for you out there?
Brass Monkey Morning is what we used to call it.
Now, why is that?
As in freeze the you-know-whats off of Brass Monkey.
Yep.
When
balls.
When J.P. McCarthy used to say that.
J.P. McCarthy... was a legend in Detroit.
That's right.
And when I worked at the station WJR with Mitch Albom, there was a guy named Ken Calvert who came over from WRIF, and he was doing middays. He was a big, was he mornings?
At the Riff?
Yeah, I think he was mornings, Ken Calvert.
Yeah, probably.
And he came over, and like he was aging a little bit, and he was a little too old for Riff, which is saying something. And then, so he went over to WJR, which was like the blowtorch, which was the big talk station.
It was the WBZ of Detroit.
Except that they had talk shows. And J.P. McCarthy was like, you know, hey, Phyllis Montgomery, she's 100 years old today.
Right.
And Ken Calvert one time came into the station. He had gotten in some kind of trouble. It's like tax trouble or some kind of trouble. And he openly sobbed for the entire show. And I was there. Because for the Mitch Albom show, for some reason, for a show that came on at 2 o'clock, you had to arrive at 9 a.m. Because Mitch would come in, much like me, but Mitch would come in at 2, like at 1:59. And then you would hand him a dossier of all the things that was going on that day. And
Mitch Albom would come in right before, because he was at the barber getting his hair trimmed at just the mid-ear level.
Yeah, he would straight line, baby. Yeah, I've seen that. Yeah.
Like right above the lobe. Mm-hmm. Halfway up the ear.
Right.
Just trim it right across, right there.
Yeah, and we had Tuesdays with Maury when he would play the tapes of Maury dying.
God.
And then he would say, don't sweat the small stuff, but he would be out doing book signings until 2 in the morning. Anyway, Ken Calvert, it was great. He, and I'm so fortunate to be there. He openly sobbed. His show, so McCarthy, so it was probably on, because who was the awful woman that, the psychiatrist that came on? She was really famous for a while. There was nude pictures of her.
Dr. Laura Schlesinger.
Yes, because she would come on after. And these morons, it was one of the great joys of my life. These morons would call WJR thinking that she was there.
Right.
So I'd go like, I'll put you right through. And then I would see they were still on hold a half an hour later. And so I would keep picking up the phone and saying that she'll be right there. And they would hang on for 3 hours. And I go, she didn't like your call. And she thought you sounded stupid. And Ken Calvert just cried and cried, and it was so awesome.
Well,
just to see him in there sobbing. He was gone the next day.
That's it.
He said, see you later, mustache man. So, Hardy, I was listening yesterday. I was tuning around, and I was listening.
Did you hear the Hardy and Hook program?
I did. And I heard you mocking his voice, which I don't think is appropriate.
Just like 3 or 4 times throughout the show, which is not a lot for a four-hour show.
I didn't hear a four-hour show. I heard the beginning of the show.
Yeah, right out of the gate, I mocked him a little bit.
Yeah, right out of the gate, he came out swinging. He's no holds barred.
I don't feel any need to watch this NCAA spectacle. I don't feel it's necessary for collegiate athletes to play basketball.
Of course, it's not necessary.
I don't care for any of it.
Of course, it's not necessary. as if anything in sports is absolutely necessary.
What's the rub on somebody like you that you just don't like anything, right? Or you only like the super cool stuff?
Yeah, I'm a super cool guy, yeah.
Right. I don't think Hook likes anything. I don't think Hook likes like any sport or any athlete.
Loves baseball.
But he hated David Ortiz. How do you love baseball and despise David Ortiz?
That's the magic of Hook. I don't know, but I know he absolutely loves baseball.
It's just
fits his personality. It's so exciting. It's like if you took a game and you made it Marshall Hook.
Well,
he likes torture, is what he likes.
Yeah, yeah. I don't know. He's just he's not happy. Four kids. He's got a lot going on.
Yeah, they're all. Did he bring them in yesterday?
No. They're of the age now where I think they can kind of tend to themselves up there at the Hook compound.
Yeah, Hook enclosure.
Marshall Hook is a big iPad guy. He'll have the kids in for 4 hours. And
And video games at home now. Now, do you know about his twins? How they were birthed?
I'm going to guess if they're twins, that was an in vitro situation.
Nope.
Oh, no, she was pregnant.
And then his super Hook seed knocked his wife up again.
I don't know
while she was pregnant.
That's not possible.
It is possible.
That's the story.
You don't drop an egg when you're pregnant.
If that sperm is like Hook powered, it goes up and finds the egg and pulls it down out of the fallopian tube.
Here, come on over here.
Damn Denny's up there.
Come here, damn it.
I am the seed of Hook and I need to find my purchase.
Okay, 617-779-0985. I'm sure we'll get full phone line.
Oh yeah, he says it happens a lot in cats.
Okay.
So he has litters.
Yes.
and then you eat the smallest.
No. So the babies were conceived like a month apart, but delivered at the same time.
Correct.
Easy. That's no problem. This is the run. See you later, alligator.
Kitty little James Stewart. Good to see you again.
Oh, I don't. I'm not gross. I don't eat it. I just bite it to death and then... buried in the backyard.
Okay.
Next to the shed.
No, the shed's my man cave.
Oh. Cat cave.
Right.
Man, I'm still very much a man.
Oh, that's right. Are you half man, half cat?
Whoopsies. Your brother died. Hey, but I covered it in some dirt. Wasn't me.
This is my fault.
It's all right. I'm good with it.
Because I said it happens to cats.
No, you're fine.
No,
You're absolutely fine.
You know, I tried out for the role of Urkel.
Really?
On Family Matters, yeah.
What happened?
I would eat the run of the litter, and I would go, did I do that?
Okay. That was worth it. That was good.
You better believe it was worth it.
It was a great payoff. I don't know what you're talking about.
I didn't see it. You know what? Shame on me.
Someone needed to tag the joke.
I didn't see it coming.
It needed a punch up.
All right. Joke's been tagged. That one.
What are you in a hurry for?
Because I know this works. I listen to the show.
What are you in a hurry for? It's 6:09 in the morning. We have three hours and 51 more minutes.
It's going to be Kitty Litter James Stew until the first break now.
What's the problem with that?
Anywho.
Yes.
Damn it.
Anywho.
All right. So you're listening to Hardy.
Yeah, I was listening to Hardy.
No, people correct. Are pissed.
As is right. My want.
That I cut short Kitty Litter James Stew.
Yeah. I did everything now that Kitty Litter James Stew has been mocked on the air, everyone who comes up to me, which is, I had an appearance on Friday and. I went out to last night to eat, and people were coming up to me. They said, "More Kitty Litter James Stew." I said, "I can do a whole show."
Don't you worry about that.
Don't you worry about that.
I smell a podcast.
I can do it as long as I can take calls
in the litter box.
That's right.
From the litter box.
That's the name.
Yeah, like from the litter box.
Right.
What can I do you for? Hey, I'm having a problem. I don't know if you've seen this, but I have a rash, it's all over the inside of my thighs. It's itchy and I ringworm. Next call. So I heard Hardy over there on the Hook and Hardy show, or Hardy and Hook, that you have a guinea pig.
Yes.
And that you took it to the vet, which is the first time ever. Did the vet look at you like you were insane when you walked in with it?
No. And we took it to Angel Memorial over in Jamaica Plain, the big animal hospital adoption center.
I know it like the top of my, back of my head.
Well, it's world famous, Fred.
Oh, sorry, don't know.
It's a big facility.
You got and past me.
They have, I don't know how many different doctors there and, you know, veterinarians and whatnot, and they're all very, very, they're just awesome. It's a great facility. I mean this. They do great
Fantastic.
Work. They did great work there.
Don't
so,
doubt
no, it. It is not uncommon at all for someone to bring their guinea pig in, especially when you've adopted one from there. There's only a couple exotic pet, you know, vets in the area anyway. So we took
very exotic
guinea pigs. Yeah, did you hear Hook talking about eating one once?
Yeah, where was that?
Well, he lived in Argentina.
That was Brookline.
Lynn. No, he lived in Argentina, but I think he ate a guinea pig in Peru.
Okay.
Where that just happened. But people, yeah, we took the guinea pig in yesterday.
When
yes.
people eat stuff like that, I don't know. It doesn't bother me. It's like, okay, what the hell is the difference? Like, when people get freaked out if it was horse meat, I mean, like, as opposed to the cow that looks like it should be, should eat it. Like, if someone said that's horse meat and it tasted fine, I'd be like, all right. I care?
They eat guinea fowl in Notting Hill, which is a wonderful Hugh Grant vehicle that I just recommend with all my heart.
He's befuddled.
Yeah, but yeah, we took the guinea pig in, and you know, it's touch and go. We'll see.
Now, how much are you willing to? Is it possible that you could?
Do you want the number?
No.
Checkup yesterday was $114.
All right.
And they think the guinea pig needs a teeth grinding.
Okay.
And that's why the guinea pig is having problems eating. It requires a general anesthetic, and it's essentially a glorified dental treatment that costs between, they just want to kind of ballpark it for me, between $300 and $500.
A teeth grinding? Someone gets a tiny little drill and pries the thing's mouth open?
You should just say that it died, and then people go, oh, get another one. No, I don't know why you were naive enough to get a guinea pig in the first place. Those animals are disgusting.
Oh, God, I'm so naive. It's a guinea pig.
Yeah, they're gross.
I agree.
And they bring no joy to your life.
I agree. My daughter loves her guinea pig.
Well, then get her a cat.
Of course. Why wouldn't you get her a cat?
No, okay. Why would I get her a cat?
Why not?
Because they're zero maintenance.
Yes, I like cat. I'm the rarest of birds. Watch what I do here. In that I like cats and dogs. I like them both.
I like them both. I'll tell you this, though, is that the cat, you can let it roam the house without fear of it burrowing into the wall or crapping all over the place. The minute you bring a cat home, it knows how to use the bathroom.
Yeah. All right, we'll get a cat.
True.
It is. I don't know why you got the gerbil.
I don't know either.
It's a guinea pig. Now you get a gerbil. Now you're talking. Those are where it's at. You get one of them wheels, you watch them all day on that thing. Look at that son of a bitch go. How often is that guinea pig out of the cage?
Every day.
What, and it just runs around the house?
Well, we have a little enclosure down in the kids' playroom that my daughter will take him out and carry him around for a little while and then put him in his enclosure so he gets a little change of scenery.
Are you naive enough to think that it knows who you are?
No. He definitely knows who my daughter is because he doesn't really care for anyone other than my daughter.
Okay.
There you go.
So there's some light on in that little guinea pig head.
Well, she will grow up knowing that you kind of half-assed it.
Yes, I 100% agree.
All right, lots of things on the way today. And the full show, if you would. And coming up, we'll talk about the Celtics last night. The NCAA tournament is not good. Here's the CBS Sports Minute with Boomer Esiason, brought to you by Acura Peabody. Boomer says his bracket, along with everyone else's, is officially busted.
Toucher.
Is this what you want?
And Rich.
Are you happy now?
Toucher and Rich.
Ah, sick.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
Recapping what you missed, it's Toucher and Rich.
The Sports Hub. We are Toucher and Rich. I forgot this was on last night.
What's
yesterday
that?
In the evening. It was the Celtics versus New Orleans Pelicans.
Oh, yeah. Barn burner, Fred. You missed it.
Yeah.
It was not a good basketball contest. last night. Anthony Davis doing
what
he
does. Did you watch it?
I watched the last of the third and the fourth quarter.
See, after the Michigan State loss, I said, enough of this. There was a commercial-free Family Guy on.
Oh, hey.
That was just Stewie at a psychiatrist's office.
How was it?
It's one of those ones where maybe they overreached a little bit, but I'll tell you what, I sat there.
Yeah.
I sat there. I didn't get up for a coffee.
Sucked you in.
It sucked me in like it sucked me in like a damn vacuum cleaner.
Mm-hmm. Yes, central vac in that Toucher house?
No, but it's wired for sound and video that's very up to date.
That some bitch is wired and ready.
That's right, because it's really necessary now. So we have walls filled with wires. We got in right under the right before Bluetooth hit.
You got one of those intercom systems? You can talk from people room to room?
No, I've never had one of those. Oh. But I hear when people have them, they use them a lot.
Yeah, they get used a lot. Well, the Celtics did, in fact, lose to the Pelicans last night, 108-89. Anthony Davis doing the Anthony Davis thing.
Pelicans trying to move into that three-way tie for fifth with Utah and San Antonio. Davis step back. Good for the mid-range.
Like you could do against that. That's just a great-looking shot, and he got contact and a hand on it.
Nader had four free throws to get the Celtics within two. He missed all four, and now the Pelicans have scored eight straight, and they lead by 13.
Abdel Nader didn't save the day?
No, it's odd that they would have Abdel Nader take four free throws in a row. It was a six-point game, Fred, and Alvin Gentry, the head coach for New Orleans, got a technical foul. And for some reason, they had Abdel Nader shoot the technical, which he missed. And he got fouled shooting a three, so they would step back up there to take three more free throws, missed all of those. So instead of down two with a normal free throw shooter out there, you're down six, and they had no chance after that.
Well, Brad Stevens said so much. Even at halftime, I think he knew that this one was probably not going to happen.
I thought we were hanging on by a thread at halftime. And for whatever reason, I thought we looked a step slow. But, you know, obviously we're going to have moments where we struggle to score with this group right now. And we just have to play a more concerted game, a more intentional game than we did. And
that's what happens when you're going to get beat by 20 points.
You have to play more of a concerted game.
Mm-hmm.
So they don't care about winning or losing right now. Obviously, they're resting up for the playoffs.
Well, they're injured. Terry Rozier says this is the best excuse we have. He says it's totally because of injuries. That's why we lost.
It's something I don't even think about no more. It's something that, you know, we don't try to make excuses for that. It's something that we don't even address.
First half of that, I understood very well.
We go out there and go to war with who we got, and we got to make the best of it. And it just can't happen like how it happened tonight.
No excuses for the injuries.
Can you play the first part of that? I'm interested in hearing the first part of it.
It's something I don't even think about no more. It's something that, you know, we don't try to make excuses.
I understand about that. That's true words have never been said. He was a little disappointed after the victory, but after the loss. Johnny Wall game.
Yes.
Now, there's a big lead on Indiana here. They're pretty much locked into the second seed.
Yes.
Do you believe in having to play together down the stretch? You're getting a little chemistry, or are you comfortable with these players coming back and just getting right into the playoffs?
I don't think there's a choice at this point. I think if Jaylen Brown and Kyrie Irving could play, they'd play. But they can't. I mean, Brown is still out indefinitely, and Irving, it sounds like he'll be back sooner rather than later. But I'd rather have these two guys right and have the two seed than try and chase down Toronto, who lost last night, but they're not going to catch them. So you're stuck with two, and that's the best you can do at this point. So I'm good with it.
By the way, Big Baby Davis is just fantastic. If you want to know someone who's going to have no money, absolutely no money.
I can't believe this is happening to him. I never saw this coming.
I mean, he is fantastic. He is the best. We will have audio of him.
We will. You say you're going to have no money. You forget that all the money he has is from all those jump shots that he made.
Yeah.
And he made so many jump shots. I think he's going to be okay for a while, Fred.
All right, so we'll play the audio a little bit later. But so Glenn Davis was arrested. He had a pound of weed. A quarter pound. He was arrested for a quarter pound of weed?
Mm-hmm. That's a lot, I think.
Well, pound? I mean, could be for personal use. That's not a felony.
It could be, unless you have a list of names and amounts and $93,000 in cash.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Dan tells me it was wrapped up in individual...
Yeah.
And then he had $93,000 in cash, which, yeah, a quarter pound is really going to, that's really going to improve that.
And a list, and the list of names is my favorite. Like it printed out or written down list of names and dollar amounts.
I don't have any idea where he was where people, this is a lucrative business selling marijuana anymore.
But that's just the kind of thing you would imagine Big Baby getting involved with, don't you?
That's like investing in cuckoo clocks.
Exactly.
You know what I like? I'm going to get into Texas Instruments. This is the thing I want to get into.
It's like investing in home intercom systems. That's really kind of passed everybody by.
They were really... what did he get? He must have been 93. He must have had with him at first $92,000. And then he sold a pound. He threw three quarters of a pound and made $1,000. Why would you possibly go to a drug dealer right now? Where does he live? Where was he busted?
He was in Maryland. He was at a Hampton Inn. Okay. Someplace in Maryland.
Well, then you know he's balling. So then what happens is he gets released. I don't even know what the charges would be. I can't imagine they'd be huge. A quarter, because you can have a quarter pound for personal use.
Can you?
I don't think it's a...
That's 4 ounces.
Yeah, but I don't think that... Yeah, but I could say, yeah, this is my weed for the year. I don't think that a quarter ounce is like, you know, he's carrying big weight and this is some kind of drug kickpin.
You're right. He didn't have a kilo. You know, he didn't have a couple pounds. Yeah, you're right.
So, I mean, it's really just bad business, which is surprising. But then he has a video of himself on a private plane with a briefcase full of money and the championship ring in it. And he is just on a private plane eating Popeyes.
Yeah, the private plane thing, I'm getting less
is that in the air.
I'm getting less and less impressed with every day, especially this one that Glenn Davis is on because it's so small. It looks like a personal private jet. It looks like a smart jet. Is what it looks like.
What's a smart jet?
Like a smart car, but it's smart jet.
There's a video.
He
can't be comfortable for him.
No, they had to grease him up.
It looks like the pilot is right behind him. His seat backs up to the pilot. Well, that's what it looks like.
Well, regardless, he chose to show his wealth. Maybe they're just doing like a spin around the Hampton Inn. Maybe they're just, you know, driving around in circles.
I'm not sure he's in the air there.
I'm not sure he's in a plane.
Yeah.
No, that's a plane.
Smallest freaking jet I've ever seen in my life, outside of Top Gun.
That's a plane.
All right. Hypothetically, say it is a plane. I'm not sure that the camera's not moving back and forth on purpose, and he's still sitting on the tarmac.
Oh, that's a good call, Wallach.
But that's got to be just as expensive as flying.
Well, I don't know. You rent the plane for maybe 20 minutes and
and they turn it on and they don't fly. Why, if I own the plane, why the hell would I do that? Boy, he can't even sit up straight on that thing.
No, he's bending over to the left.
No.
He's very too small.
And he's real fat.
I'd much rather be on a commercial airliner than I would be in that private plane.
Thank you. I'm getting less and less impressed with these things.
Anyway, I just think it's funny that the first thing he did was come out and get on a private plane regardless of size. And then have the thing open, the briefcase with all the cash.
And he's got his championship ring sitting on top of the cash. Well, like, oh, okay.
They don't win that ring without him. We all admit that freely.
Right after Kevin Garnett made him cry.
Well, yes, that was one of the great moments in sports history. Well, the NCAA tournament is not worth watching anymore. And we will discuss that. I don't want to hear about that. Well, too bad you'll listen. Here are the headlines.
98.5 The Sports Hub.
This weekend, the NCAA tournament. On Friday, you had a team that no one had ever heard of. University of Maryland, and I still don't know. It's some county.
Baltimore County.
Baltimore County. They beat Virginia. Virginia is just terrible in the tournament. Awful. And a team that's starting to be terrible in the tournament, too, is Michigan State in a barn burner, and one that you really felt good about sitting down and watching.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. It's just good. Here's the dirty little secret of the NCAA tournament. It's just good basketball from start to finish. Entertaining product, good players, good coaching, you know, just fantastic offense. It's a good watch, even if you're not invested in any of these teams.
Yeah, and you got Tom Izzo, who's a legend, and he has a kid in Jackson that's going to be a top three pick in the draft. And he said, let's let this kid run around for about 5 minutes during the game.
Yeah. Also, let's take 40 minutes of basketball and stretch it out to 2 hours and 40 minutes. That's the other thing that and I think most people love about the tournament and why they're really into the actual product is because of the longer commercials, right? The long halftime.
Yeah, what's the deal with halftime?
The incessant video reviews that take a really long time. It's just, it's a great way to blow 3 hours to watch a bunch of kids running around who can barely play.
See, I like the tournament. I'm not with you. I like the tournament, but now I have absolutely no interest in it.
This year is the first year I've really noticed the extensive video replay reviews to make the game 2 hours and 40 minutes.
They got a kid who's going to be a top three pick in the draft, and they played him for 15 minutes last night.
Mm. Well, let's check in on that Michigan State game. The final, of course, 55-53. Syracuse gets the win.
Chukwu. Misses on the second attempt. Time is running out. Winston. A three. No good. The madness is real. The Orange crush the Spartans' tournament hopes.
It's an Orange crush.
Chukwu.
Oh, sorry. I didn't want to hear the rest of it. It doesn't matter.
All right. So, by the way, Miles Bridges, who came back for his sophomore year, lit it up last night. A 4-for-18, 3-for-12 from three. With a solid 11 points.
All of those contested three-point shots on the perimeter.
No, a lot of uncontested three-point shots on the perimeter that they couldn't get to fall.
Yeah, contested and uncontested. It doesn't matter. Yeah. They weren't making anything. Michigan State could not penetrate that zone for the life of them.
No, they had open shots. They couldn't make them. They shot 25% from the field, 21% from three. It was quite an exciting time. Is Tom Izzo going to be fired? This is the big talk on the street.
I said when Miles came back, I'm going to promise you we're going to work hard for what you gave up. And I think all the kids rallied around that. So that was one reason it's a little harder. And, you know, to go through some things, that's another reason it's a little harder. And then to have maybe the best group of guys you ever had. And as I said at the podium, you know, that's coach speak. You know, everybody says that at the end of every year. I don't coach speak.
Yeah, you lose. And then if you said, well, let's look at the number two seed, North Carolina, and maybe have them do something, that is not what the case was at all. Texas A&M said, oh, hey, guess what? We're going to beat you by 21 points.
The long arm of the law.
Builder top of the key. Hard to believe. 24-point lead.
Yep.
Was Tommy Heinsohn doing the color on that?
The long arm of the law.
Yeah, well, it was just another old guy.
Kind of looks like, sounds like Bill Raftery.
And then if you like good basketball, number one seeds, you had Florida State beating Xavier, and Cincinnati, a number two seed, losing to the powerhouse that is Nevada.
Mm.
So right now, if you're looking at good basketball, you got yourself Kansas State, West Virginia. I mean, it's really going to be something else.
No, you still got a number one seed coming to Boston this Friday, Villanova.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So
I'll be there.
Hang on to your hats. That's what's going on. I hope your brackets aren't busted.
Oh, they're busted, sir. Don't you worry about my bracket. All busted to pieces.
That's right.
I really am down on the tournament just in terms of the overall product. I can't imagine somebody watching most of these games, unless they have a vested interest in one of the teams.
Well, essentially, Thursday and Friday were an excuse to drink, which ruined the rest of my weekend because I had to essentially teetotal for the rest of the weekend because that is a lot to ask a 43-year-old person is to spend the day.
Four days. It's a lot.
No, 2 days because I had to take Saturday and Sunday off.
Right, that's what I'm saying. You can't keep that going.
No,
for
you
two
can't
more
keep
days.
That going for two more days. It seems like like 5 years ago, it seemed like a good idea to go out on a Thursday afternoon and drink and raise the roof, as you say. But that turned into Friday where I had an appearance at noon.
So.
And exhausted.
And nobody here would go watch games with you? Well,
I went with Josh Fowler.
From NBC Sports?
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, Wallach wouldn't go.
No.
No.
Adam Jones wouldn't go.
I don't know if I invited him, but no.
Okay. No DOB, no Lockhart.
No, but in the
they
past...
They told you it goes kick rocks.
In the past, they've come out with me.
Huh.
But now I have no desire to watch the rest of the tournament. None. I don't care about anyone back. I don't care about any of it.
I want to see.
I don't like to gamble, so yeah, I got nothing for this tournament anymore.
No, I wouldn't mind seeing like Syracuse get beat by about 30 by Duke, just so it can further prove the ineptitude of Michigan State not being able to score points against Syracuse.
And then it would also galvanize all the people that are in sports media. They could get very excited about Syracuse.
Yeah, which is important to me. I want those people to have something to hang on to in life.
Right.
Some other
Patriots. They're not cutting out box scores from the newspaper and gluing them into books.
I used to cut out box scores and glue them onto a piece of paper for my headlines. Yeah. It used to be my little method.
Yeah. And then what happened? You gave up.
Yeah.
It's too much work. Then you got a contract and said, you know what? I don't have to do this garbage anymore.
I did it for a good long time.
Yeah, go screw.
There are some Patriots developments, you know, for people who were worried that they weren't going to do nothing.
Well, I'll tell you that special teams. Slater.
Yeah.
Slater.
Wow.
Testing the...
Pittsburgh, a lot of chemical companies in Pittsburgh, like Beakers and Bunsen burgers and whatnot.
Yeah, the Carnegie Mellon, the Mellon family is something that I enjoy.
DuPont. I think they're from around here.
Three Rivers all to test bacteria levels.
No, they got the Adrian Claiborne deal done, I think.
It's been great. Just meeting all the coaches, meeting all the people in the building. Finally got a deal done, so I'm excited to get started, like I said.
Okay. Well, that sounds like something else. Now, where is Slater rumored to be going? Was New
Pittsburgh,
Orleans one of
Pittsburgh.
Them? Pittsburgh. Oh, your rivals.
He met with Pittsburgh yesterday.
Do you think he goes?
No.
You don't think the proximity to MIT is probably why he does not go?
That would be my first choice, yeah. Yes. I think he needs a higher education that Boston can offer.
Yes, Carnegie Mellon University is nothing to sneeze at, but it's no MIT.
I can't imagine Slater not being on this team and those speeches that he gives in the locker room.
That's right. Who would do that?
Yeah, who would do the...
Has anyone ever... How sweet is the sweet taste nectar of victory?
Who's Maybe ready for a sip?
Everyone. That's probably why everyone wants to leave. Is that they hear Slater's thing and they're like, all right, this has gone over the edge.
If they could have got Slater a visit to Pittsburgh like a week and a half ago, Deion Lewis would still be here. Amendola would still be here.
Right.
Yeah.
They're just like, why is this guy talking?
Nate Solder. All these guys would have stuck around, but no.
How long has Slater been playing?
He's 33 now.
Because he's printing money.
Yeah. He's 33.
Well, you know what I do is I run in a straight line and give you the old kaboom.
He'll be 33 wall game.
All right, sorry.
Yes, that ball hits right around the three, and here's Slater. Woo! Got it.
Good play, Matthew.
Yeah. Thank you very much. It's all about trajectory and velocity and kinetic energy and everything else.
Kinetic energy.
Yep. Kinetic energy.
Okay.
They call you a gunner sometimes.
Yeah, I don't appreciate that.
Too violent for you?
I like to call myself old Matthew... Matthew
Bojangles.
What? I don't know. They call me old Matthew Feathered Feet.
Oh, okay.
Because I fly like a bird down the down the sidelines. What do you need, coach?
I fly like with winged sandals on my feet.
Don't get too close to the sun, Dad would say. Because those wings will melt.
The nickname be Icarus.
That ball's going to bounce to the five. You ain't getting past the three. Now give me $5 billion a year.
Nice play.
Thank you. I'm going to go treat myself with Mr. Wizard Marathon.
Really?
Yeah, that potato. Hey, kids! That potato's going to get that clock working. That's one of the great mysteries of science.
We will return. I would like to talk to Hardy about an event he was at the other evening.
Oh, yeah. I can talk to you about that.
Yeah, we'd like to talk to you about that.
Okay.
Why you went. There's many things going on, but Hardy was at an event. I actually just read about it. I was aware it happened, but I was read about it in a radio trade magazine. So I'm looking forward to his thoughts on what he saw.
You have that delivered to the house, do you? Or does it go right there on the old computing
machine? Every day, like clockwork, 5 o'clock. And also, there was an Aaron Hernandez documentary done by... someone that believes that Hernandez was innocent. He's a good friend of Aaron Hernandez.
Gotham Chopra.
And it was, right. That was it. Werner Herzog. And there was local celebrities galore, as far as the eye could see, talking about Aaron Hernandez. We will have that for you.
Stay tuned for more Toucher and Rich. 98.5 Sports Hub.
98.5, the Sports Hub. We are Toucher and Rich. And, you know, ever since we've come here, we've heard about the
legend of Charles Lockwoodera. Oh, the big mattress. He did it all.
Now, this I do believe, is that what was the character Charles Lockwoodera did? Like, Sammy, Two-Face?
No, there was one called Dwayne Ingalls Glasscock, but I'm not sure. Was that him or was that Parento?
That was him.
That was him. All right, no. So Charles did Dwayne Ingalls Glasscock.
Parento did Elevator from Hell,
mm-hmm.
where you would play a Muzak song of a hit of the day.
Mm.
Like, could you imagine, like, More Than a Feeling? Like, some... This ain't your... Dude, we're sitting here rocking out like kids to More Than a Feeling, and they're on the elevator listening to it in a sanitized version.
Yeah, in hell, maybe.
Yeah, that's what hell would be.
Right.
So, Charles Lockwoodera has, you know, he's this legend here. He was on for 100 years. I actually watched something, because Hardy told me he was going to this, and it's Charles Lockwoodera. He essentially talks for like 5 seconds. And there was a group of like 500 people, but they say that Glasscock... very influential to Howard Stern. That was very influential to Howard Stern. That was Steve Dahl.
Yeah. Howard was at Boston University, kind of in Lockwoodera's heyday.
Right.
And that was, to him, when BCN was signing off, Howard came on and said, I couldn't believe, he said, when I got picked up on WBCN, he said, that's when I knew I had made it. Yeah, it wasn't what happened in Detroit or D.C. or New York. When I got syndicated and they put me on WBCN, that's when I knew I was, like, really, like, a superstar because of what he thought of Charles Lockwoodera and WBCN.
All right, so Charles Lockwoodera is made enough money because of the constant selling of the radio station back when there were employee stock options that he lives in Maui.
Right.
Maui Waui. Arthur P. lives in his basement.
It's Maui time.
But he lives, like, legitimately, literally next to Oprah Winfrey. That's where his house is.
I think Oprah bought some of his property.
Okay.
So it kind of, you know, further solidified his economic status.
And so, Hardy, you were invited to something that was a tribute to the man. The man is a multimedia project out now that is... It encapsulates his entire career.
Yeah. And I wasn't sure what it was. Our new big boss, invited a couple of, you know, former BCN folk, me, Dan O'Brien, producer of this show, who was, most people knew him as Top 40 Shorty on WBCN in its final days.
His favorite band is Hoobastank.
No, his favorite artist
is
Ed.
Yes, it is, Hardy.
Ed Kowalczyk from Live. That's his man.
Ed Kowalczyk from Live, maybe the worst frontman in the history of alternative rock music.
Right up there. It's a top six worst.
And then you had Acne Face on the bass there that they wouldn't show in the videos.
But he was a good bass.
Let me tell you about the government.
So Dan and I went with Mary had VIP passes. It was sold out. And
VIP passes.
VIP passes.
Now, that got you audience of the king.
Well, it got you a photograph that Dan and I took with Charles Lockwoodera.
All right. So now, you get the picture. He's kind enough to autograph for you.
Yep.
You can tell that they have gotten some sort of really advanced machine that cuts them up so it takes off the date.
Yeah. It printed it right there, and he was able to sign it for us. It was really nice. And he, you know, we walked up. He's like, you know, who are you? And I said, hi, I'm Hardy. He's like, Harvey. I said, no, actually, Hardy. I said, I was the last afternoon guy on BCN. You came on my show, like, last year. You called in, and he's like, yeah, I don't, you know, whatever.
Right.
He's really nice, though.
Was he in slippers in a bathrobe?
No, he was not.
Okay.
And there was a camera crew walking around asking, like, what's your connection
to Charles?
Was it from 60 Minutes? Dateline, I think.
Okay.
And they were asking what our connections were, and people are, you know, saying like, oh, it's because, you know, I knew Charles then, and and they came up to us, and they said, what's your connection? I said, hi, I was the last afternoon guy on BCN. I helped kill the radio station.
Yeah, you killed the radio station,
yeah.
You son of a bitch.
So they let Chachi get up on stage?
Chachi was there, and it was awesome seeing Chachi.
I've
seen
Chachi
in a month or so.
Right.
I don't know. It was great. I saw him every day, every single day for, what, 12, 13, 14 years now.
That's true.
So it was great seeing him, but he and Charles got up on stage and started doing something around... That's like 7:30,
Dan.
It's called
riffing.
We had been there for about two hours.
Michigas.
Uh-oh.
Right?
Oh, they started riffing about 7:30, and that was they were the opening act for the show. That
brevity is what I love to do.
They started, and they were doing
their
thing.
You got to keep it tight.
Charles kept, like, yelling at everyone.
Well, they weren't on stage
up.
To begin with.
No, they were off the side of the stage, and they're talking like,
shut up!
Carter Allen was there selling a couple of his books. Carter Allen wrote this, I think it's a good BCM book. I only read the pages that have my name
same
on it.
Same with me. That's exactly what I did.
I went to the index. I found Hardy or Rob Hardy Pool.
Sure. I'm in there for a solid sections. Two sentences.
Yeah, and the rest of it seems good, but
everyone settled down. We're riffing.
Right, that was it. It's like, shut up at the bar.
Hey, Sturo Drive, what is this, a bunch of whack jobs?
And
Tip O'Neill? More like tip them back.
We're standing there.
Sky.
Chuck Nolan, formerly of our sister station.
Right.
But whom now... dead to us.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, he walks
now
in.
He's fortunate working for iHeart.
Right. Nolan gets name checked. He was never on BCN, as far as I know.
Yeah, but he was okay.
But maybe worked with Charles at ZLX at some point? I'm not sure.
All right.
All I know is that Dan and I were standing around. We had been there for a couple hours, and we're like, I don't know what the show is going to be. And then we left.
Yeah.
But it was good seeing everybody.
So
it's a legend. It was Lapodera.
Yep. Doesn't really stand up.
Did you see? I got my picture taken with him. I don't know if you saw.
Yeah, I don't know why you let Dan sneak in there. That's one that you want. It's like when you get an autograph. Yeah. You don't want it to go to Dan and... Yeah, you don't want that for Dan and Hardy.
For people watching on TV, that's Dan O'Brien in the middle.
He's, Thanks. He's got worms. Made him look like that. All right, you're a big golf guy, Hardy.
Mm.
You're a big golf guy.
Sports Hub Golf Club, now at a new time, starting this spring.
Hey!
It's taking over for the old Breakfast and the Beatles time slot.
Taking
3:30 a.m. on Sunday.
Every other Tuesday from 3:30 to 3:35 a.m. And again, at a special replay in Christmas. No, 7 a.m. Saturday morning.
No, it's not 3:30 a.m. That would kick into Amy Lawrence's spot.
Sports Hub Golf Club debuting March 31st, the week before the Masters, 7 a.m. at its new time on the 98.5.
Not 1 second of that live.
That's not this year. We're doing a lot of live this year.
You're going to come in at 7 in the morning?
Yes, sir. Especially especially like Masters weekend, a recap round two. Hell yeah. I'm up anyway. What am I supposed to do?
You're up at 7 in the morning on the weekends?
Oh, yeah.
Why?
I don't sleep so well anymore.
Kind of
welcome
torture.
To the club.
It's a guinea pig.
I don't drink. If I drank, I'd probably sleep better.
Then just drink.
I should.
Just start
I'm
drinking
about
again.
It. I'm thinking about it. Not today. It's the only promise I make each day. Not today. Maybe tomorrow.
It's one day at a time.
It is.
How long has it been since you've had
torture?
Alcohol,
I don't
drugs?
Get 17.
Coming 17
up
years?
Coming up on 17.
And how old a man are you?
I'll be 47 on March 30th.
So right around the time you turn 40, you just said, I'm turning my back to them.
No.
Oh, 30, because it's 17 years.
30.
Third at 30.
Yes.
You stopped the alcohol and drugs. And just cold turkey?
Well, I tried stopping a few times beforehand, so it wasn't like
you didn't join a program?
I didn't like, I went to rehab for like 15 minutes. I didn't like it. I left.
Yeah, they don't let you do drugs there. You know what they say about rehab is that, like, you immediately want to have sex with everyone. And they, like,
that's,
really...
That was not the case.
Whoa.
I seriously, right. I walked into that place, and I'm like, this ain't for me. I can quit without doing all this. Thank you.
Yeah, I have a bunch of friends that went to rehab, and apparently, like, all you want to do is have sex. Like, at a certain point, because you're getting over it. Like, you're detoxing, and you need something else. And I don't think it matters the attractiveness of the people. Here, headlines, and then I'll explore this more.
Okay, good.
I'll tell Hardy awesome. Over here all about rehab.
Okay.